two of our Shir and Haggadah. We're on the section now. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kaven Shivim Shana, says I'm like 7 years old and I was not Zoyche to Shetayamir, Yisus Mitzrayim B'Leilah, so why we have to mention Yisus Mitzrayim B'Leilah until the Drasha ben Zoma, the Tidlamant Yisgun Yom Tzatamir Yisus Mitzrayim, etc. Gemara says that he was 18 years old, really, but he said, "Ani kaven shivim shana." I'm like 70, because what happened was Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah was elected as to be the nasi, as the top, the chief, Rosh Hashiva, and his wife said, "You're a young guy. You're 18 years old, and everybody's gonna, nobody's gonna, take you seriously. You look like a young guy." So what happened? The Gemara says a nace occurred and his beard turned white. So therefore he looked like as if he's 70 years old when really he wasn't. However, the Rambam writes in his Parashat Mishnayos that his beard became white because of his tremendous shkeda and yegiya in Torah. The question is, how does that stim? How does that go together? What does it sound like? It was an acer. It was because of his hard efforts in Torah that it turned white. So the Chasam Sofer is Miyashiv, and he says that al piteva, naturally, looking at things of how it should be, al piteva, it should be that somebody that's learning Torah with so much effort, his hair should turn white. He should get old out of all the hard effort he puts into learning Torah. However, Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a nace, and that since he's learning Torah, that Torah gives him koach, that it doesn't, his hair, which would normally turn white after putting so much effort into something, here when it comes to Torah, Hashem makes it that he doesn't turn white. So it's a nace that a person that learns hard, his hair doesn't turn white. Okay, so then what happened? So over here, though, because of the situation, really, Eliezer ben Azariah, was nominated the thing, and his wife was correct, how they're not going to take you seriously. So what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He then let things go naturally, right? And he let his white hairs come out, which that was normal, because since he put a lot of effort, that's what it should be white. So it's totally backwards. So therefore, that's what the Rambam means, that his white hair was from his hard efforts. Yeah, it was. But normally, it wouldn't be that way. It would stay dark because of the nace that Hashem would do to those that learned Torah. But Hashem here took away the nace so that would allow him to look old so that people should respect. Okay. It says, I'm on the section of the Arba Banim. We say the Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheinu Yedei Elisha. So he said, Lechura, yes, the progression is doesn't seem to go in the right order. Right? Because the Chacham, fine, begin with the Chacham. And then we should go on to those that are not negative. We should say Tam, Sheni Adish, Liat, Sheni Adi Elishol. And then at the end, the negative one, the Rasha. Why are we putting the Rasha next to the Chacham? Chacham Rasha. Why we should put them at the end and go on to that? So he answers with a story that there was once a city that there were counterfeit bills that they discovered were being distributed in the city, and there were dollars and shekels. Okay, so dollars and shekels being used. So they, of course, the police, investigators, whatever, they went looking and trying to find the culprits. And after a lot of investigation, sure enough, they caught them. Two guys, right? The one was printing the shekels, one was printing the dollars. So they brought them to, of course, to court to be judged by the judge. So the judge heard the accusations, and the first guy, let's call him Ruvain, that was putting out the shekels, the dollars, so he judged him, and he said, okay, you have to go 6 years into prison for what you've done. Okay, so that was his din, 6 years in jail. Okay, So then they turns to the second guy, to Shimon, the one who was putting out the shkalim. We started with the, I changed it. Right, so now he turns to Shimon, who was putting out the shkalim, and he says, the judge hears the case. He says, okay, Shimon, your judgment is, the decree is, you have to be locked up in an insane asylum. So he said, what? The insane asylum? He says, yeah. He says, well, I understand. My friend over here, you know, he also put out, you know, your fake money, and he got in jail. Why would you put me in an insane asylum? So he says, listen. He says, you're, after hearing everything, I see that you had, mom, is this top state-of-the-art, you know, printing presses and inks and things and everything. You, mom, is the top of the line, everything, you know, to make the best counterfeit thing that can possibly be. So he goes, okay, yeah, very good, exactly. So why are you putting me in insane asylum? He said, because you're an idiot. Why did you print out shekels and not dollars? So Mele says, same thing over here. Says that Tom, Dane and the Alisha, they're not smart people. You know, Tom simpleton, doesn't know what to ask, doesn't know. These people don't know, they don't ask. Okay, fine. That's, you know, what can you ask of them? But the Rasha, who are we talking about? Not only a stupid person, we're talking about a very smart person. Right, and therefore we put him next to the Chacham, which is also a smart person, and that's why we put Chacham Rasha, because the Rasha is just as smart as the Chacham, but that makes the tying against them all the worse. Right, you're so smart, so why'd you do such a crazy thing? Why are you going after your Taivas and this? Right? When you're losing this world and next world, you're such a smart guy. You should, so with Africa, to show the contrast, that's why we put him next to the Chacham. Okay, there's the famous question that the Chacham says, "Ma'i dos v'chukim meshvitim asher tziva Hashem lokein v'aschem." You know, what is this? You know, these laws that Hashem is asks you to do, etc. And then you tell him what the laws are, etc. So everybody asks the question: why are we treating him so nicely, as opposed to the Rasha, which comes up after this? And when he says "Mavo does us lachem," we say, "Oh, lachem!" You know, he said, "What's you for you?" And he's asking the Rasha. Says, "What's the avoda for you?" We say, "You and not him. If he were there, he wouldn't be nigal, wouldn't be redeemed, etc." So why are we attacking him because of when he's, you know, his lashon? L'chura also the Chacham saying also eschem. What's eschem? You. So my egos between Moshe Tivazrim eschem. He's also saying you, and he's not including himself. So how come when the Rasha's not including himself, we go down hard on him? When the Chacham's not including himself, we say, okay, you know, teach him the thing, everything's good. Well, why? He also said that's good. Said you. So he answers with the Maisa with the Malbim. The Malbim was known to be an expert at Lashon HaKodesh. Right, he had 613 klalim. He wrote a sefer called Yelas HaShachar and klalim in Tiktuk and Lashon. He was a baki in Lashon. And once a maskil, he came to him and he had written a book and he wanted a haskama from the Malbim. So the Malbim looks through the book and he says, "Nah, you made a grammar mistake over here and over here, and you made all kinds of mistakes in grammar." So he said, "So I'm not going to give you a haskama." So the guy got upset and he says, "It's not fair." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, because there's a look at, I can pick up any sefer, you know, from a Torah sefer that you gave haskamas to, and I can find tons of mistakes, you know, grammatical things. They're terrible in grammar and everything. So how come you gave a haskama to them? You don't give haskama to me. My language is not 100% perfect, so their language is also not. You give haskamas to their svarim. Why is that the case?" So he said that very simple. He says the Chacham, right? What's his main purpose in life? The Torah. I mean, and therefore he's a Geir Torah, and he writes a Svarim. So someone who makes his whole life the Torah. Okay, so he makes mistakes in the Lashon here and there. Nunu, it's not so terrible. Okay, we're not going to have Tainas on. Okay, but you, who dropped the Torah, and your whole life is Lashon, language, and that's the ikkar in your life, so then, that's the ikkar in your life, so at least what you're holding by should be perfect. So he says, therefore, Mela, same thing over here, right? The Chacham went, okay, he said, Eschem, instead of Otanu, he said, instead of us, we're not Medak taking his Lashon, but the Rasha, he doesn't care about the Torah, ikkar him is the language, okay, language, so now we're Medak taking him in the language. And he brings the Maisa, the Gemara Nedar in Dach Samach Vav base, with they shows that we shouldn't go overboard, and we have to not to be so medactic in language. Sometimes people make mistakes and say the wrong thing, so shouldn't go crazy about it. So we see that, he said, from the Gemara in Nedarim, where there was a person who came from Bavel, came to Eretz Yisrael, and he married a woman from Eretz Yisrael. So the thing was, the language was a little bit different, right? That the way they spoke in Bavel, the way they spoke in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? The man said to his wife, "Can you give me two butzini?" So butzini is like avatichim, like watermelons, whatever. So can you give me two butzini, or watermelons? But butzini in Eretz Yisrael Lashon means neros, means candles. So she didn't. She misunderstood him. Right? He was saying watermelon. She brought him two candles. So he was all upset. He says, "What are you bringing two candles?" He says, "Take those candles and break them on the Rosh HaBaba. Baba again in Aramaic means a gate. She wanted him to. He wanted her to break the candles over the top of the gate." But Baba, she didn't know Baba means gate. All she knew was one Baba, and that's Baba Ben Buta, who was a big rug, one of the Gedolei Ador. So break it over the head of the Baba. She goes, "Oh, okay." So she goes to Baba Ben Buta. He was giving shir or whatever, and she walks over with him, smashes the candles over his head. So he goes, "Exactly, why did you do that?" So she said, "I don't know. My husband told me." So he understood what happened, and he said, "You did the ratzon of your husband, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu should come from you two sons who should be just like me, like Baba Ben Buta, connected the two neros, Ner or a Torah." And sure enough, that's what happened. So he understood. He overly makpid on the lashon. Onwards, we tell the Chacham. When he asks, "What's Mayedus V'chukim, etc.?" So what do we tell him? We say, answer him, "Kilchas HaPesach, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen." So they ask, what did he ask for? Mayedus, Mishpatim, etc. These are mitzvahs deraisas. He wants to know, tell me the mitzvahs deraisas. And what do we tell him? At most, a takana de rabbanan, then aim after you nachar pesach hakom. And after you eat the korban pesach, you're not supposed to eat anything after it. It's a takana, it's not a mitzvah deraisa. So what's going on here? He's asking a mitzvah deraisa. Tell me, eidos chukim mishpatim. And what do we answer him? Takana that you shouldn't eat after the pesach hakom. What's pshat? So he answered based on a famous gemara in Chulin, Daf Kufei, Manelaf, with Mar Ukpa. Mar Ukpa said that made a comment. He says, "I'm nothing compared to my father." He says, "I'm chometz ben yain. My father's like wine. I'm like vinegar. I'm like wine that's gone sour. And I can't be compared to my father." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because when my father eats meat today, he won't eat cheese until 24 hours later. He waits 24 hours between meat and cheese, right? Whereas me, says, I wait only from one meal to the next." This is like a source where we wait 6 hours and, from one meal to the next. Anyway, he says, I only wait 6 hours. So everybody asked the kasha, it's not like he was telling him something that is impossible for you to do. My father, never thinks about anything except Torah, and sometimes I get, I can't help myself, things go into my mind. I don't know, whatever. That's not what he said. What he says, eating, he waits 24 hours before he eats cheese. What? Anybody can do that. Well, he couldn't. He had such a timer for cheese, I can't control myself. I can't wait 24 hours. So you also wait 24 hours. You think it's a mile. Let's wait 24 hours before you eat the cheese. What was the big deal? So what was he trying to get at? So he answers with a mashal. He says that there was a guy that had a shoe store. And he used to go every few months to the market, the big market, to buy like a bunch of shoes, you know, wholesale, and then bring it back to his store and, you know, selling in retail. Fine. So one day he goes to the Yerid, to the market, and he's looking for, you know, this guy selling shoes. So he's looking around. Ah, finally he sees, well, so it's a little strange, he sees a storefront with a window, you know, the window, store window. And in the window, there's a pair of shoes. One pair of shoes. Happens to be the ones that are in style, you know, that day, that time. So he's looking, well, at least I found a shoe store. So he walks in, and he sees, very strange, one old guy sitting there behind the desk, dust everywhere, dirt everywhere, not one single pair of shoes, except for the ones in the window, nothing in the store. I mean, just dusty and dirty, and this guy sitting behind a desk, old guy. So he's like, listen, he figured probably maybe he'll make the orders here, and then there's a machsan, you know, where they have all the shoes, whatever. So he says to the guy behind the desk, listen, I want to make an order of shoes, how much you charge for a pair of shoes? I want to order 100 pairs, different sizes, of the, you know, for sure the type that you have in the window, those pair, but if you have others, I want to order them. So the guy says, listen, he says, these shoes, I paid a half a ruble for them, but you should know, this isn't a shoe store. This is not a shoe store, stores for rent. That's why there's nothing here, you know, just something that's just for rental. Everyone, we're looking for someone wants to rent it. So he says, I don't understand. So what are those shoes in the window then? He goes, oh, those are my shoes. So it's your shoes. He goes, yeah, I came in the store, I just wear slippers. So I took my shoes off, and I'm wearing my slippers. He says, so why would you put the shoes in the window then? I mean, it's like false advertising. It looks like you're advertising shoes. You're putting them in. He goes, okay, no. So Mela, the Nimshal is, that he said that which is Ra'ukva's father waited 24 hours. It's not like, oh, of course he could have done, but that was just a simon to show, like advertise, like what type of person he was. Right? That wasn't that anybody can do, but that showed that he was an example of how makbid he was in a dinim, in that case of Basar B'Chalav, and he was mechumra over chumra over chumra, so careful, he wouldn't chas v'shom even come near the derisa, and he made such harchakas. That was an example of what he does with everything. Okay, it was just something in the window, right? He said, "Dugma," and said, "Oh, this is what type of guy my father is." That he weighs out. That's just one small example. But that, of course, he's like that with everything. Well, that's why I'm not. I can't compare to my father. So if I would do that stuff, it would be like false advertising. Like, you put these pairs of shoes. They're not even a shoe store, right? Then if I that's not really me. Whereas that is really my father. That's the difference. And Mele. So same thing over here. That's what the Chacham wants to know. You know, my Yisrochem. So we teach him everything, right? The whole Torah, everything, ad to the last detail of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. I mean, even that in Inyan the Rabbanan or whatever means we teach him everything that he should be kulo Torah. That's just an example. Therefore, we said, why mention he's asking for the derisa? Why are we telling this little derabbanan? No, it's just an example. You have to tell him everything that he should keep everything, even this little derabbanan, that as well, everything, right? That should be that's just a dugma, that even that, and then of course everything that goes along with it. Okay. He says another idea of Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikoman is that here he's asking the same question we said, you know, he's asking Eidos Achu Mishpatim, why are we telling him Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikoman? The Gra says it's to explain this part of the Haggadah, is that that's the end of the Masechet. Masechet Pesachim, it's almost the end of the Masechet, towards the end is this Mishnah of Ein Maftir Achar Pesach. So basically what we're telling him is, we tell the father, teach him the whole Masechet till Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikomer. Okay? Also, one idea, Hashkafa-wise, is, he brings out from here, is that, or another way of understanding is, what we're telling the Chacham is, you have all these kashas, just wait till the end of the Masechet. Okay? You'll see, sometimes at the beginning, it's, oh, I don't understand this, I understand. You don't understand these things, because you're only at the beginning. Right? Wait till the end, you get to the end, you'll see. A lot of things will become much clearer once you get the whole picture. And therefore, we tell him, Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikomen, remind him about the end of the Masechet, and say, hang on, have patience. You'll see, when you get to the Masechet, things will become clear. He brings a very nice example of this we find in the Torah. That Leah, Imenu, right, she had the first six sons. Okay, the six Shvatim. And then she was pregnant with the seventh. Okay, which was a boy. She has a seventh. However, she felt really bad for her sister Rachel, had no children, and if she would have seven, then even if Rachel would have a boy, she'd only have one shevet. So she davened that the vlad inside of her, which was a boy, should turn into a girl and let Rachel have the boy. And sure enough, that's what happened. It started off as a boy, turned into a girl, and it was Dina, right? And Rachel had the boy, had the Yosef instead of her. Fine. So it was a miracle. So the what happened? Find something very strange. Dina, wonderful. What happened to Dina? So she grew up, and then she went out, and then she was attacked by Shechem, and who lived with her. And later Shechem was killed, whatever, you know, by Shimon and Levi, etc. So you wonder, you know, well, that's what Leah gets for being such a tzaddikus. You know, she could have had a boy, whatever. No, she doesn't know. Had Leah be a girl, so for my sister, so she can have the boy, whatever. And this is what she deserves. That this girl that she doesn't for you know for her sister have a boy. That it turns out that she gets attacked and raped and this and that's what the thanks she gets. You know, Kilu. From Mishamayim. So again, you look at the beginning of the story, it seems, what's going on over here? It's not fair, okay? However, as things unravel, you see, not so bad what happened. So, she happened to be pregnant from that union with Shechem, and she gave birth to a girl. But all the Shvatim, they didn't want this girl to get her away from here, you know, she's not, her father's a goy, Shechem, you know, they didn't want her. So they distanced her, they pushed her away. So Malach came and took her and plumped her down in Mitzrayim, and she didn't have any parents, so who took her over, who raised her? Potiphera, right? Eshes Potiphar, right? She raised this girl in her house, isn't it? And then Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, da-da-da, and in the end, what happened? This girl ended up marrying Yosef. So it ended up that Leah had a very nice son-in-law, Yosef, tzaddik. And out of Yosef came two Shvatim. So here, she said she davened for her sister, and she lost a shevet, and instead, she had a girl, and we said, oh, and terrible, what happened to the girl? But in the end, it was, if you look at the whole picture, ends up being very good. Because of that, what everything that happened, ended up having two Shvatim, a son-in-law, Yosef, and two Shvatim come out. Look at the picture. Okay. So he says, I'm not kashur directly to the Haggadah here. He just says the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha is one of the differences that the Chacham understands that he has to make himself fit into the Torah and not the Torah try to fit him onto him, as opposed to a Rasha, whereas he wants to do what he wants to do, and he tries to fit the Torah to match him and not the other way around. That's the difference between a Chacham and a Rasha. He gives the mashal. A guy goes to a walks into a hat that's selling store is selling hats, a hat store. He walks in with this hat in his hand. The seller says, yeah, what can I do for you? He goes, well, he says, I was here yesterday, I bought this hat, and it doesn't fit, it doesn't go on my head properly, and it doesn't go on. So, so the salesman says, you have the wrong address. Why are you coming to me? He says, what do you mean? Where should I go? He says, Kupat Cholim. He says, Kupat Cholim? Why should I go to Kupat Cholim? He says, you have to find there a doctor that can, narrow your head a little bit, so that the hat will go on. So, he says that you have to know what has to fit. He said, Lemaisa, he said, okay, everybody knows that you have to make the hat fit the head. The question is, the shaila is, what is the hat and what is the head? Right? So, a chacham understands that we are like the hat, and therefore we have to fit ourselves onto the Torah, that the head is the Torah, and we have to fit ourselves to the Torah, whereas the Rosh is the opposite way around, right? He thinks the Torah is the hat, and he's the head, and therefore he has to make the Torah fit him. That's of course the wrong way. And he brings another example of this, that there was once a wagon driver that was taken to a din Torah. Why? He says the guy hired the wagon driver to bring his schora to the market to sell. Okay, so he loaded up the agala, the wagon or thing, and fine. So he says, I'll meet you at the market. So what happened? There was a snowstorm, and the wagon driver couldn't make it. By the time he got to the market, it was ready. The market was finished. It was over. So the guy that hired him said, give me my skora, and that's it. So give me my skora back. You didn't do it, and goodbye. So the wagon driver said, "What do you mean goodbye? I brought your skora to the market. I want to get paid." You brought it to the market. You brought it. It was useless. You brought it after the thing. I couldn't do it. I was. What good is bringing it after the market's over? You bring my skora now. It's too late. So he said, "No, I want my money. I'm holding on to your skora until you give me the money, my wages for bringing the stuff." And back and forth, he decided to take it to the Rav. So the Rav heard the case and he said, "Well, lefi the halacha, the Torah, Sal told the wagon driver, you have to give the guy a score back and you don't get paid. Because a part of the condition was that you bring the thing. Okay, it wasn't your fault. We're not blaming you. It was the snow. We're not blaming you. You were negligent by Lamaisa. Bottom line, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, bring the score to be sold. And it couldn't be sold, so you don't get paid." So the wagon driver said to the Rav, Wait a minute, I don't agree. He says, "Why?" He says, "Excuse me, you're telling me this is the Din Torah?" So the Rav said, "Yeah." So he says, "Rabbi, let me ask you something." He says, "When was the Torah given exactly? Well, what was the date?" So the rabbi said, "Well, everybody knows that, the 6th of Sivan, Shavuos." So he goes, "Exactly, 6th of Sivan, there's no snow in Sivan. No snow in Sivan. So the Torah wasn't talking about when there's snow. Here, there's a snow on the ground. It's a whole different story." So that's called making the Torah try to fit you. Okay. Fine. The Ben Arasha. So the Ben Arasha says, starts off, Rasha Ma'omer Ma'avodah Zos Lachem. Right? What is this avodah to you? So one idea he says is that Lachem below low, that's with regards to the avodah. Means he goes, work. He doesn't want to work. He does, has no problem sitting there eating all that delicious food and thing. That's fine. But the work, ma avodah hazos lachem. The vote is that's for you, not for me. I don't like the work. The food, where's the food? I'm fine with that. It's avodah mazot lachem. So it brings a taich from a Gemara. It's actually a Mishnah in the end of Gittin. I saw this mamash recently. I don't remember where. Mamash the same thing. That the Mishnah says over there discusses what are things, are grounds for divorce. Right, that a man has grounds to divorce his wife. So Beis Shammai says if she matzah by erva stavar, if she did she was osik in erva whatever. But the Beis Hillel says afilu hikdicha tavshilo, even if she burns his meal, grounds for divorce, he can divorce. So, of course, everybody asks, it sounds a little bit extreme, Avreich Kolel, comes home for dinner, whatever, and she says, whatever, I was busy, and here's the thing, and it burns. Okay, that's it! Going to the Rabbanu, divorce, finish, you burnt my, come on, that if it burns, that's a ground for divorce. A different answer. But he wants to say the following. He says, you know, imagine, okay, the woman's, you know, at home and she, you know, puts the dish on the, you know, the stove, so it's cooking and whatever, and then she gets a phone call, gets distracted, the kids, whatever, and all of a sudden starts smelling because something's burning. She's looking at what can be burning. Ah, looks around, oh my gosh, the food's burning. So he runs over the stove, shuts off the fire, and, you know, the bottom whole layer is all totally burnt to a crisp, to turn to charcoal, whatever. And then all of a sudden, knock on the door, opens, husband's home. What's for dinner? You know, okay, so he sits down and he says, now, okay, now there's, you can have three different wives, okay? You can have the Eishes Chayil. What is she going to do? She's going to scrape off the top that's not burnt, give it to her husband to eat, so he has good food to eat, and she's going to eat the charcoal, right? The bottom, that's an Eishes Chayil. Then you have another type of woman that she's equal opportunity, right? 50-50, everything we go. Okay, so he gets half the good food and half the charcoal, and she takes half the food and half the charcoal, right? 50-50. However, the third type, if you have a woman that's egotistical, only cares about herself, what does she do? She says it's the opposite, right? She says, here's the charcoal, and I'm taking the good food for myself. Ah, so Mela, he says, such a woman you have just ground for divorce, right? And she's egotistical like that. Mela is meduyak nalasha. What does Beis Hillel say? Afilu hikdicha tafshilo. His tafshil, right? Not hers. He gets the burnt stuff. Tafshilo. She burns his stuff, meaning that he gets the burnt, not. So Mela says, same thing with the Rasha, right? He says, when it comes to the bad stuff, the work, mavorazat lachem, for you, you know, bad. When it comes to the good stuff, the food, that's for me also. Yeah, reminds me of this famous maisa. He doesn't say this, but famous maisa with the father when gives his son 2 shekels to give tzedakah. He says, 2 single shekels. He goes, here, one's for you, and you can buy candy with it, and one so you can give someone, you can give the tzedakah. So the kid's all happy, and he holds these 2 shekels in his hand, and we're going to the candy store to get some candy for his shekel. And you go, you know what? All of a sudden, one of the shekels flips out of his hand and falls into the manhole. Goodbye. Gone. So he's left with the 1 shekel. So he looks up to Shemayim, and he says, sorry, Hashem, you lost your shekel. Right. So when it comes to you. Okay. Next. So what do we do to the Rasha? So it says Mav Yasmozah, so we said Lachem Lefisha Otsias Momina Klal, since he takes himself out of the Klal, he's Kafar Be'ikar. Afta Hake Shinav, so you blunt his teeth and you tell him that if you were in Mitzrayim, you wouldn't have come out. Okay. Brings here this talking about Haket Shinav. He says there was once a dentist that he put in one of his patients needed full dentures, right? The top and bottom, full dentures. So he said, he came to Rav Yankov and he says, you know, he complained about this guy. And he says, you know, first of all, people have no idea what goes into making dentures. Not so simple, you know, it's a lot of work, you know. Setting the mouth, it should be perfect, and then preparing the teeth to the right size, the right shape, the color, this, whatever, the whole thing. And okay, it's expensive, that's why it's expensive, because it's a tremendous amount of work. She says, so anyway, so I put this guy, doctor says, full dentures, and what happens? Comes to, you know, time for him to pay me. He doesn't want to pay me. He says, oh no, he doesn't pay me. And I tried, nothing, he won't pay me a cent. So I got very, annoyed at that. So I went to his house to get paid. I made a trip to his house. I said, look, I put in your denture, I want to get paid. So instead of, apologizing or this or whatever, no, the guy starts yelling at me, no, I'm not paying you a cent, get out of here, and screaming at me, chases me away. So he said to Rav Yaakov, he says, you know, what bothers me the most? Okay, the guy doesn't pay me. Okay, of course, a lot of money done in my work and effort. Okay, of course. But he says, but you know what bothers me more than anything? He goes, this guy's screaming at me, right? With those teeth that I made him, he's using to scream at me. He's screaming at me with the teeth that I made him. That's worse than anything. So he says, so too over here. We tell that we hakeshinav. Why? We say that Akila Kodesh Baruch Hu. We say Akodesh Baruch Hu, like the who gave you your teeth? Akodesh Baruch Hu gave those same teeth that Akodesh Baruch Hu gave you, using against him and saying bad things, doing things, eating things you shouldn't eat, saying things you shouldn't. Those same teeth that Akodesh Baruch Hu gave you. The Tomer Devorah says it brings this out a lot. That it's a chutzpah, but the things, the gifts that Akodesh Baruch Hu gave us, we use them and turn them against him. You know, that's why we knock out his teeth. Okay. Next, it says a board here which is very dear to me because it's from Maseches Horias. So I'll share this word with you. The Gemara over there on Horias, the Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, says mentions things which are hazardous to one's memory, right? Certain things that if you eat, that it makes you forget. And other things that to help you remember, whatever. So one of the things mentioned over there is if you eat a food that was eaten by a mouse. You know, it was a mouse chomped on a little piece of bread or whatever. So if you eat that bread that the mouse ate from, so it's bad for you, it makes you forget. Okay, so then the Gemara says over there that the Talmidim asked Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, why is it that a dog, a kelev, is makir eskono, and a chatul is not? A dog is makir, it's who its master is, but a cat isn't. Yes. So, what was his answer? He said, a kal v'chomer. He says, if you eat something which a mouse ate from, makes you forget. So, kol shekain, if you eat a mouse itself, you're going to forget. You just eat something the mouse ate from makes you forget. If you eat the mouse, of course you forget. So what do cats eat? Mice. So since they eat mice, that's why they forget. So he says the whole thing's a little bit, you know, like, it's obviously a little bit something deeper. Like, what do they care, you know, about dogs and cats and you know, they forget. Like, well, there's something probably deeper over here. So he says, yeah, what's the idea? He says that the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, right? Yadashor kanehu v'chamor avus ba'alav. It says that animals, by nature, they recognize, obviously they're no free choice, by nature they know who their owners are, their masters are. Right? It says that the shore knows its konehu, who bought it, who's its master, and the chamor knows who the feeding prophet, who does it belong to, the master. They recognize their master. That's a natural tendency. So, therefore, the pella is on the cat. Right, the dog is makir's cone. Okay, it makes sense. The dog knows his master is because the animals by nature know who their masters are. So the pella was, why is it though that a cat doesn't? A cat's an animal. So how come the cat is not? It's not makir's cone. However, what's the answer? So the answer was that you're right. By nature, cats would and should remember. It's just that because they eat mice, and mice are things that, you know, makes it forget, whatever, so because of what it ate, that's why it forgot. It forgets. But if it wasn't for what it would eat, then it would remember. So therefore we're supposed to use this to apply to human beings. Right? In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu also made it in the teva of a person to makir eskono, to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Some people take it full advantage of it, and they really makir Kodesh Baruch Hu, 100%. Other people, less, or whatever. But lemaisa, more or less, people are makir Kodesh Baruch Hu. Except for the Rasha. Right? Why? So therefore, the question is, therefore, on the deeper level, why is it that, you know, cats don't recognize, you know, why shouldn't they? By nature. So too, why is this Rasha not recognizing a Kodesh Baruch Hu? By nature, he should. So the answer is, what you eat. Right? As we know, also, just like when the cat's eating something, that's what's making him forget. So too, Enochanami, Rasha, if he wasn't what he eat, he would also mark it. But since he eats nevelas and trefas and all these type of things, which are metamtem esalev, it blunts the heart, and therefore you forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So as a remissness, that's why we take the Rasha, where we hake ashina, right? We knock out his teeth. To represent this idea that it's because why is he a Rasha? Normally he would be Makir's Kono. Naturally he would be. But because what he eats, and the veils, the Trevas Eva, is that that's because of his Rishas, that's what makes him forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore we knock out his teeth to remind him this idea. Okay, we have one more. Okay, the Chasam Sofer says that he's medayik. It says ve'af ataha ketchachim. It doesn't say ataha ketchachim. It's ve'af atah. So the Chasam Sofer tain is that there's a diuk is that even the father is also to blame. But afata, okay, so meaning, yeah, you're knocking out the son, the rasha, the son's teeth, but the father has always what to blame also. So he says, what's the idea? He says, what do you want from the poor father? There it says that, okay, poor father, but the lesson is that unfortunately, the way people act is everybody always, looks at everybody else's faults and blames everybody else instead of blaming themselves. You have to look at yourself also. Maybe you have something to do also. Maybe you also have to blame. Like they say, the famous word that they say, whenever you point the finger at somebody, you should realize there's three fingers pointing back to you. So now it's him. You realize you have to look at yourself also. Okay, so afata as well. You're not totally clean as well. He says a beautiful idea from the Avastar Rabbi Nassan, great chap. It's a famous chazal, but the diuk is beautiful. It says like this: the chazal tell us that Aaron HaKohen was Rodef Shalom, Oyev Shalom, Rodef Shalom. So the Avastar Rabbi Nassan gives an example. What did he used to do? He used to have go know these two guys are in a fight. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are fighting with each other. They're not speaking to each other, not speaking terms, etc. So Aaron HaKohen used to go over to Reuven and used to say to him, your friend Shimon, he got his fight with. You should know he feels terrible. He realized what he did was wrong, and he's totally embarrassed of what he did to you, and he feels really, really bad, and he really wants to make up, but he's just like, blah, blah, blah. It's not true, he makes this up, but he wants. So he goes, yeah, really? He really likes it? He goes, yeah. And then he would go to the other guy and say the same story. He'd go to the same Shimon, says, oh, Shimon, Reuven, he really feels bad, he did wrong, and he realized that he bad to you, etc. And then the Chazal say that the two could come together and meet each other in the street, and they'd hug and kiss each other because he thought he really was bad for him. He's like, yeah, man, they're gonna, so he used to make shalom. Okay, that's a famous Chazal. So he has a great chap. He says, Lechora, why wasn't Aaron worried that one day he's going to be caught as a liar? Meaning, let's say he goes to Reuven, right? He says, okay, here, not Reuven. Shimon, good, I'm going to go to Reuven and do this. So he goes over to Reuven. Let's say it's Reuven, Shimon feels really bad, he does a terrible thing and he feels bad. So maybe in that case, maybe Reuven knows very well that he was the one that harmed Shimon. He knows it, and it's not Shimon's fault. It was really Reuven's fault. So as soon as Aaron comes up to him and says, Shimon feels bad. It was his fault. Reuven will say, no, that's not can't be. You're a liar. I know it was my fault. It was my fault. I did it to him, So why wasn't Aaron worried that one day he's going to be caught as a liar? So he says, we see from here that Aaron had nothing to worry about. Why not? He says, because nothing to worry about. That's not what people are. People always think it's always the other guy. No matter what he does to him, it's always the other guy. So I have nothing to worry about. Nobody's going to think I'm a liar and think, because I know it was me, it wasn't him. Nobody's going to think that way. Everybody always thinks it's the other guy. So he knew he can play it safe. He can say whatever he wants and it was the other guy. The guy knows, yeah, fine. He knew he can play it safe.